Last time on Wanderlust. So you can see shorter and deader looking, like, low grass and weeds, whereas where there isn't tunnel, it's like taller plant life is growing.
I am using the pole that Autumn gave me to help me get over the wider divots in the ground.
Okay. You hear a crunch behind you, Estelle and Juliet, leg falls through. Both of you feel kind of soft and moist, like, lips close around your leg, and you are drug into the tunnel and are pulled away.
Can I use animal anatomy to try to place a kick that's going to hit it in the nose, because most animals are sensitive on their nose?
Yes. Yeah, you kick what is feels very much like a giant toad right in the Vulcan neck pinch part of a toad, and it goes limp at your feet.
So I'm going to keep trying to punch through the top to get out of the tunnel.
You good? You okay?
Ask me in about 5 minutes.
Okay, let's get out of this toad habitat.
You begin walking through what is really just beautiful terrain at this point. And then you hear a squawk. And then you hear a few more squawks.
Fred wants to run.
You hear a shout, like, off on your left, and you see a man standing in a very small mouth of a cave.
My name is Hugo. In terms of what you are describing, I call it a Blighthound.
I was just about to suggest we maybe have our dinner here, share it with you, and then we can continue on.
There's a small campfire crackling beside the underground river that's running through Hugo's little underground house. He's gone over into a corner on his makeshift bed, you know, mat of fluffy grasses and leaves and whatever he can find to scrounge up to sleep on. The rest of you are sitting around the campfire. What's everybody do before bed?
I think Fred is going to get out a lump of that metal he found.
Oh, okay.
And use the fire to heat it. Like, he knows he can't, like, truly forge it, but he just wants to kind of play around with it, see kind of what properties it has, see if he can kind of see how malleable it is, that kind of stuff.
I imagine it like the raccoon putting cotton candy in water.
It has a melting point of 3 degrees, and it immediately melts and is gone forever.
Okay, so you put it next to the fire. It heats up and glows.
Like, does it seem like it's gotten red hot just from campfire heat?
It seems like it's glowing.
Ooh.
Okay.
I will let you do whatever tests you want to do to this thing, but you're kind of going to have to get pretty granular with it.
Yeah.
Because what this means matters.
So yeah, once it's glowing, does it glow pretty quick once he puts it in, or does it take a bit?
It takes a while.
Okay. He will kind of take it out with the tongs and start trying to forge it with his hammer, see if he can get it to see if it's pliable, trying to see if he can shape it into something.
Does not seem like it's getting any more pliable. It's still very hard, but is glowing still for a long time.
Okay. I'm going to kind of, like, with it still glowing, he's going to, like, put his hand kind of up close to it to see, does it feel very hot?
Hot as a campfire, not so. I mean, you right. know, we're talking about metal temperatures here. A campfire is relatively cold.
Right.
It does not feel any hotter than putting your hand near the coals of a campfire.
Okay. That still answers a question, though.
It does, yeah.
I think that's all he'll do for now.
Okay, so you set it down and it is still glowing. I'll say that, like, you put it next to the fire and you can see that bar still glowing like a faint orange color. Well, let's call it a red. It's glowing red.
Like a blood red, or kind of like more of an orangey red?
Like a blood red. That matters. Ooh. In that like that indicates a lower heat on the metal.
Okay.
Orange is hotter than red. Red's hotter than orange.
Okay. How like and does it take pretty long to cool down? Like if he leaves it outside the fire.
Yeah, yeah, it's still glowing orange, yeah. Or red for a very long time. And it's giving off a considerable larger amount of light than what steel would give off glowing.
Okay.
Like almost enough to be a small light source.
That's what I was thinking. Juliet has her little sketch journal out and is trying to make a scientific drawing of the birds and also the mushrooms that they saw yesterday or earlier in the day. It's been a long day.
Gotcha. Okay.
Autumn is reading her pulp novel, Rosa Riviera and the River of Time.
I both love and hate that title.
Estelle is going to make sure that Guffy is all taken care of. And then she's going to take out her tablet journal thing and she's going to finish up any notes that she had about the various creatures that we ran into. And I think she's also going to take out her moon rock and like set it up off to the side as like a, like in my head, I kind of view it as like a mini shrine type of thing. Just
yeah,
like,
right. That's like a religious symbol for you, right?
Yeah.
Ooh, actually, I'm going to show Hugo my drawing of the river mushrooms and ask if he knows what they are or what they do.
Oh, that's a really, 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 really good question. So you wonder, he's like, I'll say at this point, he's like not asleep. He's just kind of sitting up in his bed. And you show him the picture and he just goes, oh, those are okay to eat usually. There's a point in their life cycle where they become poisonous. At that point, they turn colors and you can see the spores falling off of them. As long as they're not at that point, they're fine to eat.
Oh, I have some with me, actually. I don't know why I would just show him the drawing. I could show him the actual mushrooms. Are these ones too far gone? I didn't see any spores.
They turn a very bright blue color. Those look fine.
Okay. Do they do anything special? They're just edible? Do they taste good? Or
when you are hungry, everything tastes good. I don't notice any particular effect from them, if that's what you're asking.
Yeah, I think what she's beating around the bush and asking, I think she wants to ask, are they hallucinogenic, but she didn't want to come out and say it.
Well, I guess so. I'd heard other people talk about some various flora.
Let me say it this way. I see a lot of weird things out here. And I eat those mushrooms. At some point, if you don't have anyone to corroborate what you're seeing, and you see something weird, is it the mushrooms? Or is it just that I'm seeing some weird stuff out there?
I see.
I think this means you have to eat it for science, Juliet. And she gives you an impish grin.
They're fine to eat, I'm almost positive, but don't just eat any mushroom without talking to an expert like me.
I wouldn't dream of it.
If you ever find more plants, definitely don't. Not just, there is poisonous stuff out there. I put some of it sometimes on arrows, but then you have the problem if you shoot a poison arrow into a bird. Can you eat the bird?
That is quite a conundrum. I
never tested it. Don't want to find out.
I probably wouldn't have tested it either. That seems like a good call.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Are there any particularly prevalent poisonous mushrooms around that we should be aware of?
Don't eat anything that's blue.
Got it. That's good to know.
I call them blue mushrooms. Don't eat those.
Okay.
Is that one of those names that still needs work, like, you know, floop flops? We've hit the bad, the good, and the neutral for his naming. Deathclaw, really good. Floop flop, kind of bad. Blue mushroom, very neutral. While that's going on, Autumn will notice Estelle setting up the shrine and ask her, Do you want someone to say prayers with you, Estelle?
I mean, you're welcome to join me. I usually keep it pretty silent, you know? Kitaris has enough going on in her life to not need me to be too loud.
I feel like asking for guidance to find some kids is not being unduly greedy of her attention.
My point is that I wasn't going to make a spectacle here. I just wanted to give a little bit of respect. And hopefully, you know, she'll keep an eye out on us, too, while we're out here. So far, she hasn't let me down.
Moon's willing. So, Autumn will sit next to you quietly and pray with you.
Is this difficult for Autumn?
Oh, no. She takes religion seriously. Like, she's not...
Oh, no, I meant the being quiet part.
Well, in my mind, the way Autumn's church was, is it... Prayers were much more of a repetition kind of thing.
Mm.
So someone would say something and the person would repeat, like the other person there would repeat it. And then the person who repeated would say something and the other person would repeat it and go back and forth like that.
Okay.
Like to have a very communal praying experience. It wasn't like just sitting in silence.
Mm-hmm.
But if Estelle doesn't want to do that, Autumn is not going to force it on her.
Right.
You know?
I don't think Estelle ever like... went to church, you know, with like quotation marks around that. I think it was a very, like, all of her religious experience have been very individual. So it's like, well, this is weird to have someone next to me, but that's okay.
I'm trying to decide how irreverent Fred is.
Well, I think we know how irreverent Fred is now. It's how out loud irreverent is Fred.
Yeah. I think in that moment before Autumn actually starts praying, like, he's not going to interrupt someone praying, but in that moment, he overhears this. He's like, he's going to say, yeah, it makes sense that you wouldn't want to be praying right now because, you never know if Sheriff Mitchell was also praying, they might tell him what we're doing out here and he wouldn't like that. He wouldn't like that we're off the path.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of gives a sly grin.
Hugo looks at all of this just noticeably like, what are you doing? Like, okay. And just kind of goes back over to his bed and sits down.
I think when Estelle's done, she's gonna take out her blanket and she's gonna like curl up with Guffy.
Guffy is already snoring.
So I actually have a question for you guys about how you imagine the pantheon of goddesses. In our world, is it kind of like Dungeons and Dragons, where a character might follow/worship one, maybe two gods, but not necessarily like deny all the others? It's just kind of like the others exist, they are aware of this, but they're like there's one or two that they focus on. Or do you think that everyone kind of worships everybody?
I was treating it how real life pantheons are with like Greek and Norse, where it's just like you might have a god you worship more, but you worship them all.
Okay.
That's kind of what I was thinking, too, because I based it off of the Greek pantheon. So, like, in my head, so Kitaris is goddess of the wilds. And so for Estelle, that's going to be, like, the main one that she's going to be focused on. Well, that and Maker of
Especially
Life.
Especially while we're out here.
Well, yeah. Like, that's definitely her focus. So that's who she's going to have something for. But it's a pantheon, which means... You know, she's not going to carry around little baubles for each one because that seems excessive.
There's a lot of moons, folks.
And I think specifically within the like lore of the world, there is like it isn't that they don't believe that other ones exist. It's that there are people that are openly hostile to people that worship another god, almost like, you know, that guy's the bad guy and you're worshiping that one, or, you know, like that goddess is the bad goddess and you're worshiping that one, you know?
Cause I was skimming through the list and I'm like, well, one that Fred would definitely kind of pay a little more attention to is, Thesmera.
Who's the trickster goddess. Yeah.
Trickster secrets. Yeah. Which makes sense, but I could see how other people might be like, yeah, don't do that.
And there are also definitely at this point, people that are, there's like, a return to religion with the eco-herbs because of, like, a reverence to nature, we said. But at the same time, I think there's probably also, like, what's running parallel to that is probably, like, enlightenment thinking of, like, oh, that's passé. People are all going nuts about this. But that's, you know, regressive to even go back to that. There's probably people in both schools of thought. So Fred being, like, a cynic or not cynic. What's a pass? Or no, what's the thing where you don't believe anything? A skeptic. makes sense. That would exist within the world. You're not like, oh, you're like, that doesn't exist. It's like, no, there's definitely skeptics or people that think it's nothing. And then there's also people that are very devout, you know?
Oh, I also disagree a little bit. I think like if you worship the moon goddesses, even if you do like the ones that are more the bad guy, it's less frowned upon because there's also like the sun duology and the cult of the ring.
Well, we talked about like when the moons hit each other, there was like fighting because of it, because they thought that was like gods going to war.
Yeah, but that wasn't that the ancient past, not the...
No, that was relative. Like that was the age, that was like 100 years ago.
And I thought we did that.
Because that was just not knocked out stuff.
That was like the last big thing that happened before this age was the...
Yeah, I didn't think the religion fought about it. I thought it was a new religion came out of it with the ring people.
No, it was that... Well, yes, partially. But yeah, no, a thing that we said about that time was that...
Okay, I brought it up.
Okay.
The era ended with two moons colliding. There was mass internal panic. I don't see anything about specifically fighting or wars, but the moon debris fell, and so, like, people were panicking about that, and also, like, religiously freaking out because it's like, well, there's another, like, goddess that was destroyed.
Yeah, and I have those goddesses listed, the ones that...
Yeah, this Danaus and Ramsin.
I'm not saying there was, like, a massive crusade. I'm saying that there were people from both faiths that, like... skirmish, not like full, because they weren't divided by area, so it's not like there were like standing armies to either of these things. It was that like squabbles happened because of that, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
but that can also be as relevant to you guys individually as you want it to be. That doesn't have to be the way your characters view faith, you know?
Why do I need a divisive faith? There's enough of that in the real world and I'm playing a fantasy game.
All right, anyone else want to do anything before bed? And also, do you guys have keep watch? How are we handling that?
Autumn does not. This is an adventure story for her. Bad things don't happen to the heroes.
Despite all the bad stuff that's happened to the heroes so far.
She got 2 stress total.
My thought is if we're sleeping in a cave where, like, Hugo sleeps, we don't necessarily need to keep watch tonight, since he sleeps alone in a cave all the time.
I think it's more of how much do we trust Hugo.
I think Juliet is fine with him.
Autumn is already snoring.
Yeah, Estelle's asleep.
Okay, so you all, you know, are lulled off to sleep. The fire is starting to burn down. There's still a faint glow from that piece of metal that Fred heated up that's still sitting by the fire.
Oh, it's still glowing?
Yeah, I mean, we're talking so far, maybe it's been an hour.
Like 30 minutes. Yeah.
So, you know, you heated it up, set it there, tried to hit it with a hammer, it didn't do anything, and then it's just glowing next to the fire, still warm, and then you know, we had that scene with Mandy, or, you know, Estelle talking about her religion, yada, 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 you talked to Hugo a little bit, you went to sleep, and it was still glowing when you went to sleep, so we'll say an hour.
That is still a very long time for a piece of metal to cool down. That's interesting.
Juliet, you are shaken awake and open your eyes and see Hugo, like, right above your face. And he just goes, I don't know which one, but one of them moons is, it's late. It's middle of the night moons. It's the middle of the night moons are up there. So, you know, you said you wanted to leave with the birds being, this is when they're asleep. So, you know.
Oh, I'm getting up. We are gonna leave.
Let me tell you something. Age-old question. Is there a non-creepy way to... I mean, I haven't woken someone up in a long time, but is there a non-creepy way to wake someone up? I didn't want to throw something at you. That felt mean, but...
I mean, not having your face above my face would be a great start, but I appreciate you waking us up, because I was fast asleep. Thanks.
You see him go over to, Estelle?
Don't put your face...
And he... leans back and just, like, pushes her shoulder with his foot and is like, Estelle, wake up! Estelle, wake up! Estelle, my face isn't above your face!
What? Oh, right. Mm.
Oh, middle right. of the getting night, moons.
Getting up, yep.
You don't have to leave, but you said you wanted to.
Yep, want to avoid the birds, yep. All right, waking up.
So, yeah, we wake up Fred and Autumn.
Hugo, once they're all up, goes, I hope to see you guys again. The cave is always open to visitors. Just beware the birds.
It was good to meet you, Hugo. Thank you for letting us stay here.
He just gives a thumbs up.
Roy, and if you're ever interested in returning, I guess, to people, you know, just about half a day that way.
Know that I would be welcomed back cheerfully. So, I like my cave.
I mean, I would welcome you back cheerfully.
Well, that's very nice. I'm glad that that is the case for you.
It's a good place to start fresh, if you want to do that.
Looks around at Autumn, looks around at everyone there, and is like, huh.
How many of these people committed murder?
Well, it's more just like, is this all of us that you just referenced?
I mean, if not, we know where you are now, so I'm sure we'll say hi at some point.
I always have roast birds and water.
All right, I think we start heading out.
Before Cody gets too attached to his NPC and won't let us leave.
Okay, so I'm going to assume... So, for those of you listening at home, if you are, we're changing the way the rules work a little bit because we were hitting way too many tiles and I was going to murder the whole party before they got anywhere. So now, there's like time skips in between. Some tiles are going to be nothing, basically, right? So that's kind of the difference here. So that's kind of what we're going to start doing now. So do you guys still just want to generally head south, favoring southeast, basically?
Do we want to inspect for the tracks?
Until you hit a tile that matters.
I was going to say, is that the way that the tracks are going?
I'm just going to save you the trouble. Right now, going south by south, yes, the trail is still going very much mostly south and a little bit east.
Okay, then I think yes.
Should we mark anything for being tired?
Oh, yes. Sorry, all of you take one emotional strain. Is that what it is?
Mental
strain. Yeah. I need to get I always do this whenever I'm a DM. I don't have a character sheet, and I should just have a blank character sheet to reference. And I never do that. Anyways, sorry. So, generally, you guys are heading south-southeast, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. You know what? I opened up everything except the map manager. That doesn't matter. You walk out into the bird-infested plains with the occasional trees where there's tons of birds up in them. You can, like, see an occasional wing hanging down. You can see a bird's head tucked underneath its wing. You can see a clawed foot glinting in the moonlight.
I high-five it.
When you walk out, there's... The night sky is gorgeous, right? There's, you know, always a few different moons up right now. The hue right now is very purple and blue. It's kind of giving the night a dreamlike aurora borealis look as you look into these trees. And I'll say you make one step and you hear like the crack, like a thunderclap of a tiny twig breaking. And you like see a bird shuffle in the tree closest to you. And you look south through the field of birds. All of you need to sneak across this field.
Oh no.
Now, rolling back the curtains here, make some kind of roll. This is a time when if you feel like you can make some kind of aspect to make this easier, I will allow you to, as long as it isn't insane, or you can just try to walk across the field without making a whole bunch of racket.
I have nothing for this.
Mathematics.
Can I use perception to avoid... Like, see and avoid, like, sticks and stuff?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I have noticed.
Do you read your own character sheet, Caitlin? I'm curious if you've ever seen it.
Yeah, I was just thinking of, like, I was thinking of more, like, physical traits, you know?
That's what I was thinking, too. Like, I mean, that's the best I can do as well, is try to avoid stepping on loud stuff.
Because I feel like athletics is not applicable for this.
Not as much.
Not yet, at least.
I got a +3.
If you run fast enough, you'll create a sonic boom, and then the noise will not be where you are.
I got to -1.
Oh, no.
I would also like to say before all this, Autumn does the equivalent, when she's like sees the moon's up, she does the equivalent of crossing herself in this culture. So circling herself, I guess.
I'm going to use composed.
Okie doke. I'm going to have you guys sound off here in a minute. All right, so let's start with Juliet.
+3.
Estelle.
+2.
Autumn.
-1.
Fred.
+1.
All right, so you all start heading south, and as the trees around you, they grow more and more sparse as the elevation climbs, and you find yourself starting to make your way up like a small, shallow mountain, but this is clearly the foothills of like a larger mountain range, which is kind of what I've been telling you this whole time. As you're going south, you're hitting more and more mountainous areas, basically away from some lower riverlands. So at this point now, trees are growing sparse as you're heading south, and right as you're by the like last crop of trees, Autumn just like takes one step, misses a foot, and just smashes into a pile of leaves right by one of the trees, right? And as soon as that happens, there is just immediate horde of birds drops down on Autumn. All of you take off running. Make me some kind of like runaway check. So you're just trying to, you know, cover's broken. Now you're running.
Oh, jeezy Pete. I'm rolling like Caitlin tonight.
I'm going to use CrossFit tonight. Start for this one.
All right, we'll start with, just so you guys know, well, it depends on what order we join in, doesn't it? Right now, the order is Juliet, Estelle, Autumn, Fred. So, Juliet.
0.
Dead gum. Estelle.
I also got a 0.
Nice. Autumn. And Fred.
+2.
Hey, nice. Okay, so Autumn, as soon as you step on that branch, you basically take 2 physical strain as these birds just like, and you kind of are just swatting away as you start running. Fred keeps up with you. Estelle and Juliet, you see this and then realize like a second too late, oh, we should also be running. And each of you take 1 physical strain as you just make your way up the mountain.
Yeah, I imagine it as Autumn hits the ground and immediately knows what she's done and like is in a track position, you know, like in a start block and just is gone.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, there's the like, oh, this was bad.
Yeah, and I think Juliet for a second is like, oh no, Autumn, we should help her. But then like Autumn is like way faster. And then Juliet's like, oh no, me, I should help me.
All right, so the early morning at this point now is taken up basically climbing to the top of what is closest in this area, a very tall hill. This is mostly barren grass, but as you reach the top of it, it becomes a sharp grayish rock. The climb up gets pretty treacherous, but it's the most direct route south. As you make this slow ascent and reach the top, you kind of have a moment of standing and looking over the landscape. You can look to the north and see where you came from. It's this dense wood leading down to kind of a river valley. And then further south, so facing the direction that you're going, you can see another kind of thick layer of forest between you and another more complicated mountain range. So instead of like, you're kind of on an individual peak, go down into a river or into another forested valley, and then start coming up into like a ridge line of mountains. And that's kind of the direction right now that you can see the tracks going. Probably the tracks didn't go directly up this mountain because probably a wolf wouldn't do that. It would go around, but you can tell like still this was the south southeast that you are going. So right now you start making your way down into tile HH46, which is where you guys are at right now.
Do we get anything positive for being surprised by the beauty of the landscape?
What do you want for being surprised by the beauty of the landscape?
I don't know. Just like some like positive mental aspects. Like we get to the top of the mountain, like just as dawn is cresting. Like, that's pretty spectacular.
Do you want to...
It's a game called Wanderlust. What do you think?
Do you want to, like, meditate up there and be like, yeah, the forest might not kill me today?
I mean, like, I think Juliet has a moment of like, wow, this is gorgeous. Like, people always talk about it, but it's different being there in person, you know?
Well, and I think that would be, like, a moment for your character of reflection, given that, like, since you've been here, you've kind of been in the thick of it, you know?
Yeah.
Can't see the forest for the trees. You do get a moment to look at the forest.
And see the trees.
And see the trees. But then you do kind of have that sinking feeling as you start walking back into the thickening, darkening, you know, eaves of a forest. It's like, well, this is probably gonna get real again here really soon.
Yeah.
Estelle makes sure to take a picture from the top of the mountain just for her.
I like that. That's a good idea.
While you're doing that, right now, we have not used any of our food per day yet, because yesterday we used it.
You did, because you shared. Hugo. So all of you used your regular provision because you shared with Hugo.
We did, so we should be down one.
You should be down 2 pounds each of food.
Okay.
And once that 2 pounds of food is liberated from my pack, Fred will take back the bar from Juliet so she doesn't have to carry it.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that bar, I'm assuming you didn't leave that bar in Hugo's.
No.
So when you picked it up in the morning, it was warm to the touch. Not burning hot, but warm. Yeah. It was
still warm. Wow. Actually, as he picks it up and it's warm, he's going to take out a file and try to file it. Does it file or is it hard? Like, will it not file?
Oh, that's a good question.
Because, like, if it's like a, well, normally with steel, if it's like work hardened, when you try to file it, the file will just scrape off the metal and it won't actually bite. But a saw, like, if it's not hardened, it'll bite into it and you can actually take material off.
Yep. It is somewhere in between. So the file bites in, but you're struggling more than you would with steel. Okay. So you start making your way down into the eaves of this forest. It begins to grow dark around you as trees again start to sprout up. And as you make your way through, there is a dense mat that's only maybe 4 or 5 inches tall of this kind of soft, springy. It's not a moss. It is like a tightly woven, you know, leafy plant. So the leaves themselves are a deep purplish color, and then all around there are pops of flowers that are growing from this mat of, you know, like an undergrowth weed. The flowers themselves are very, very, very bright white, but the growth, the like undergrowth itself, is this deep purple color. The trees all around you are very old, pale trees, so the bark is almost white. And they stretch really high up and then have like a dense, needly canopy high up in the air.
Estelle would like to see if there's any animals out that she can see.
Okay.
That's a plus one.
As you start searching around for animals, so kind of a couple things. The mat of flowers that you're walking through it's kind of difficult to walk through. It's deceptive because as your foot steps on it, it's like, okay, it'll spring. It supports a little bit of weight. But if you slide forward at all, it starts tangling up on your foot. So you're kind of like clumsily having to like rip your feet out as you're walking if you slip a foot at all, unless you step perfectly up and down on it.
Mm-hmm.
So as you start trying to look for signs of animal life, you know, you're thinking like, maybe small herbivores might be eating this, might be some insects that could be living on this because, you know, there'd be things pollinating. You reach down into the plant matter and your hand crunches and goes through the ground, right? Something you're maybe familiar with at this point, you've encountered tunnels before. When you pull your hand back, you can see that the dust on your hand is a dark black color, almost like obsidian. It's glittering a little bit. And the smell coming from the cave is a little bit sulfury.
Okay.
So these are roots covering the cave entrance? Is that what we...
It's like a tunnel, right? Like an animal tunnel?
No, this is an underground tunnel, yeah.
Okay, so there's a tunnel that's like covered by these tree roots?
These aren't tree roots. This is like a thick mat of flowering plant. Imagine it like a clover.
Okay.
A very thick, matted clover.
So like clover strong enough that we could like hold us up, or is it...
No, sorry.
It squishes a little bit, but it's sorry. Thick.
I'm just trying to understand like if it's like this tunnel system is like we walked over multiple entrances and we just found one, or this is the only entrance we found.
This is the only entrance you found. You haven't seen like openings in the ground. Estelle broke through the ground here. You have no indication that this would break through the ground everywhere.
Okay.
She just found the weakest spot in it.
Okay. That's what I wanted to know. Everything okay, Estelle?
Yeah, everything's fine. Just doing a little research. I think, though, like, if we had all the time in the world, Estelle would want to just, like, wait and see if something popped up. But since we don't, she just kind of... I was going to say she dusts off... No, I know what it is. So, I think the way that we wrap up some of the food is there's probably cloth, because like I imagine we don't have Ziploc bags. So we probably have some left over from our food from the night before. So she rubs off some of the dust onto that so that she has it and puts it in her backpack.
Okay. Are you guys just going to try to move on?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, so everyone, as you start walking, you can feel a wooziness. Does that make sense? Like, your brain's just a little foggy, you know, if you try to think, like, what direction do we want to head? And you're like, is it... It was east. You know, that kind of thing. It's just you're trying to, like, piece together, like, you're almost forgetting small details, little things like that. Maybe some of this you think is like, you know, we did miss a night of sleep. I feel fatigued. That's kind of your mental state right now. So I need everyone to make me, you're going to make me a, like a, you know, what's the actual chat called?
Well, like a wisdom save, mental save.
Basically, this is a mental save of some sort. So you can tell me if you have a skill that you think applies to this.
I think will sounds pretty good.
Yeah, that would work.
Composed?
Composed would work, yeah.
Would something like notice not?
Notice would not help. Well, you could make a notice check to maybe try to figure out why you feel weird.
Okay.
But that would be it.
Okay. I'll do that.
Okay.
Could I do persistent? Like, I just don't care. I'm just pushing through.
I'll say yeah on that one. That kind of works.
Okay. If it doesn't, that's fine. That's the only thing I have close to helping.
Yeah. No, that's fine.
Oh my gosh. A zero.
Okay.
I got a 5 to notice why I'm feeling weird.
Okay. So you kind of start feeling like, I feel very strange. And you're trying to kind of think back through, like, you've heard mention of poisonous plants at this point. You started feeling weird once you got into this thicket of small flowers. I will say maybe this, especially, you maybe noticed that this started with Estelle when she bent close to the ground. And then you're like, oh, shoot, I'm realizing there's a bad thing going on here, as you look down and can see, like, instead of insects pollinating these flowers, you can just kind of like ambient see like very fine glittering dust in the air of the pollen of these plants just floating around. You're like, I'm breathing that. Great. All right, Estelle, what did you roll?
+3.
Dadgum. All right. And Fred?
+2.
Cool. So I will say all of you are heading southeast and you're like, okay, we're getting our heads around this. You know, maybe Juliet kind of like tells you guys like, hey, it's just the plants. We just got to keep like almost like write it on a piece of paper, like head southeast. Definitely.
Can we like make a masks for ourselves?
Oh, you could definitely try to do that. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Do you want to finish your description or?
No, make me a crafting check.
Okay.
I mean, I can make crafting checks for people to make masks.
Yeah. Fred should maybe do that.
Go for it.
I mean, we have the cloth from our food that Mandy just established.
Maybe not use the one that she just got a bunch of the spores on, but...
Well, technically that's obsidian dust, so that would actually... But, yeah, you know, you said you brought, like, you know, bed sheets with you could rip
off. We have other clothes, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, not as good as it could have been. That is a 3.
Okay, no, that's good. That's good enough that you make, you know, you cobble together something that you could wrap over your face. You know, you got a bunch of bandanas for everybody, maybe a couple layers, and you pass them out. And I'll say at this point, you're kind of like heading out. And you're like, okay, we'll breathe through these. It'll be fine. And you pass them out to the two people that you're very certain are in your party, Estelle and Juliet. And as you guys are walking, just suddenly you remember, you know what? There was a, where's Autumn? And you look around and Autumn is gone.
Wait, what? There was another person in our party, wasn't there? Where's Guffy? Did we forget Guffy?
Guffy didn't make a check.
Am I missing anybody else?
Oh my gosh, wait a second. Oh, this is going to be the best. Hang on.
I want Guffy to be with me. I don't want the roll to happen. I want Guffy to be with me.
I'm really concerned. What are you doing to Guffy?
So you guys look around and sure enough, Guffy is gone.
What?
Autumn is just like chilling with Guffy. It's like, it's nice that we went on a walk alone, isn't it, Guffy?
Autumn, you hear a bark and you kind of snap to. You're in a faintly, like, orangish glowing tunnel. The walls are totally smooth. You can smell a strong smell of kind of like sulfur, like a burning smell, you know? And it's like, it's not hard to breathe in like a dangerous way, but you're like, you know, it's like smoky kind of feeling. And it's just like a tunnel. You look back, tunnel. You look forward, tunnel. You look up, tunnel. And Guffy's just next to you like, what's up?
Well, Guffy, I don't think this is a good place for us to be, but I don't know which way to get out of here.
For a second, I wanted to just have Guffy be like, yeah, definitely, we should go left. And I'm like, oh, you're not that high. You're not that woozy.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to ask. Was that when you said Guffy just kind of pops up and says blah, I'm like, was that metaphorical, like the way dogs do?
That was, but then I thought about it.
Or was that literal, that's what Autumn saw?
I thought about doing that, but no, this is at this point, you're no longer being affected by these spores. You've kind of just come to. You say that to Guffy, and Guffy just goes, oof, and starts kind of whining and pawing at the side of the cave.
Can you smell Estelle, Guffy?
When you say Estelle, okay, well, just playing this game now.
Does Guffy have name recognition as one of his skills?
I mean, I think he knows Estelle's name.
No, I'm just saying, like, on a character sheet, things are you putting out for a dog?
I think Guffy looks at me quizzically, and I say, can you find Mom? Because he wouldn't know her by Estelle, because...
He would know.
I don't know.
Frick! Okay, so you say that, and Guffy turns around and starts running back the way that you clearly had just come.
I run with him, obviously.
All right, we kick back to all of you. You have just remembered that you're missing Guffy. Your treasured third member of the party.
Fourth member. Is... Three.
Well, so far in character, no one's acknowledged that Autumn's missing. They've only acknowledged Guffy.
Fourth member. Estelle, Juliet, Fred.
Oh, Guffy. And Guffy. Yeah. The fourth member.
I'm a little offended since Autumn has been doing a lot of the heavy lifting for anything physical for you, twerps.
It's a joke.
Kinda.
Estelle starts, like, you know, she's like basically turning in a circle, like looking for Guffy. And she whistles for him. Guffy!
You hear silence, but as you turn around and look, so you were walking downhill, right? So you could look uphill. You know that's about the direction that you came from, right?
Yeah.
And you could probably see, like, torn up plant life, you know, heading the way that you are. The trees, like I said, really tall and the ground cover really low. You can actually see pretty far because they don't have a lot of low down branches anymore. Those have, like, snapped off, died. Clearly, they have branches close to sunlight. You look across and see nothing but this uniform mat of bright white flowers with dark green undergrowth and this kind of shimmery mist hovering over all of it.
Well, I gotta go back and get Guffy. So I'm gonna hope that this mask works.
Let's stick together. We'll just retrace our steps. When was he last with you?
Yeah, we gotta make sure Guffy's okay. We can't let anything happen to him. I rolled a will check and I gave myself a one. If I beat a one, I will remember Autumn or remember that something's wrong. I got a zero, so no, I don't yet remember that Autumn's a thing.
Wait, hang on. Estelle does a head count.
See if all her ducklings are there.
Yeah. Have you seen? Did either of you see where Autumn went?
Oh. She was,
I thought she was right behind us.
Oh, Dust, right, Autumn. Where did she go?
I know you've already established what we're doing, but I just want to do that cool montage, you know, where it's like, where's this person? They're doing something completely unrelated that's awesome. You know, she's stabbing a shark with Guffy on her back.
Well, we're going to see here in a minute.
So, yeah, I think we retrace our steps.
Okay, so you start retracing your steps, looking back, trying to figure out, where Autumn went. Everyone, make me some notice checks.
Does that include me? Am I in everyone?
No, sorry. We're gonna cut back to you here in a second.
That's fine, I just wanted to make sure.
We're gonna find out if things go from bad to worse.
Okay, can we say that, now this might not work because it's notice, but can we say that the masks are keeping us focused because, like, make it a, what's it called?
An aspect, yeah.
Aspect?
So, the way items work, this was what we discussed last time. So, the way items work is, yes, they will help. They do not help you succeed. They help shift above how well you succeed. So, there is a difficulty that you have to beat here. If you beat that, you're going to succeed really well because you're wearing that mask that keeps your brain from getting all scrambled.
Gotcha.
But it doesn't necessarily make it easier to succeed.
Okay.
For now, that's how we're doing items.
I got a plus one.
Okay.
I got a zero.
Okay, Fred?
Plus two.
Perfect. Fred, you are walking, and then you just kind of stop and turn, and you can see hanging on a, like, knot sticking out of one of the trees is the harness that Guffy was wearing. Wasn't Guffy wearing a little harness?
Well, we made him one for the zip line. He doesn't have one.
Oh, right. You took that away, didn't you?
I did.
I keep forgetting that. I'll say that you see dog hair then. You can see dog hair on the tree branch.
Does he have a collar or anything?
I don't know. Would he have a collar?
No.
No?
Okay. So yeah, you just see dog hair on a tree branch then.
Okay. Yeah, Fred's going to go up to the dog hair and kind of... You said it was like tangled in something?
Yeah, tangled in a tree.
Okay. Yeah, he's going to... Is it... I assume at like ground level or eye level or something.
At Guffy level, which is, you know, 4 feet off the ground.
Right.
Because Guffy's a horse.
Yep. So he's going to grab some of that and show it to Estelle and be like, do you think this is Guffy's hair here?
When you walk over, one thing happens before you do that. You can feel like a breeze hitting you. You can smell burning. And you can see that right in the roots of that tree, it's mostly grown over, but you can see that it's been opened a little bit, is a sharp, almost like slide down of smooth rock.
Yeah, that definitely looks like that's Scuffy's. Do you think they might have gone down there? And Estelle's just gonna do like a quick glance around to see if Guffy's hair caught on anything else in the vicinity.
It's the only thing you notice.
Okay.
Can Juliet shine a flashlight into the gloom?
You can. Very easy to see down there. It's just a, like I said, a slide down. So, you know, maybe a 45 degree incline. And then you can see after it drops maybe 15 feet, it curves out and then is just, you know, on into a tunnel.
Okay. Juliet's going to call down into the tube.
We are going to kick back over to Autumn and Guffy. Okay, Autumn, you are chasing Guffy back. So, you know, you were walking in a direction you came to. You turned around, started running back the other way. As you start running, you hear scratching coming from the rock next to you. What do you do?
I think I run harder.
You run harder? Okay, make me... yeah, this will be like athletics runaway check.
That's finally something decent tonight. That's a 5.
Dadgum. Okay, so as you run, you can hear this scratching noise getting louder and louder and louder.
I don't want to outpace Guffy. Like, I don't want to leave the dog behind me.
The dog's fast. Yeah, that's fine.
Okay.
So you can hear this scratching noise behind you. And then as you turn around, you see very large claws push through and tear the rock, which that's bad enough. And then you see the end of a huge star-nosed mole smash out into the path behind you, you know, no eyes, and it just starts crashing after you, its body basically filling this entire tube. The smell of burning has gotten more intense from this hole that just kind of opened up, and yeah, you're just running for it. Cutting back to above ground, Autumn, you said you try to listen, right?
Juliet,
sorry, you said you try to listen?
I said I called down into
you
the...
You call down and you hear a very faint sound of barking that's getting louder.
I hear them. I hear Guffy.
Guffy, keep coming this way.
Autumn?
The barking gets louder and louder and louder, and then you see Guffy and Autumn kind of appear at the end of this hole. Again, 45 degree up, totally smooth. Autumn, you are being chased by something large and terrifying.
Are we able to get up this? 45 degrees is like a hard run, but not impossible, right?
Totally smooth rock. You're making a check to get out of here, yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say, depends on how smooth it is, and smooth 45 degrees is quite steep.
Like glass, yeah.
Can I use my CrossFit skill to possibly create an aspect of like reaching down to grab her arms and pull her up?
Throw a rope.
I don't have a rope.
Grab a rope from Juliet and throw a rope.
Yeah, I have rope. I have 50 feet of rope.
Okay, use the rope. I'll grab my dog.
So you can throw the rope down, and then I will say you can definitely use a skill of CrossFit to be doing like like, this has been a drill where you have to do, like, goofy-looking pulling of things and, like, rope exercises. That's like a CrossFit thing, to have them ropes where you do like this.
Where you do them up and down like you're, yeah, the giant ropes.
Like you're jump roping someone that isn't there. Yeah.
Yeah.
So with the rope and doing that, I will say you can try to make this aspect of, you know, lowered rope. And I'll say that is a stealth thing to do.
That's a plus two.
Perfect. So, success. You have made a rope down there and you're doing, like, you'll, once they grab onto it, you can try to pull them up, you know, like, by running and doing tugging, which is like a, I don't know, maybe tug of war was like a CrossFit thing, because that's kind of like everything. I'm going to roll for Guffy. Okay. Can Guffy use the free invoke? Because yes. Guffy has no fate points.
Yes, Guffy can use.
Guffy okay. can use my fate points.
Guffy can use the free invoke. You know what? I'm going to use my fate point. I'm going to use a fate point and use the other one. That is a 7.
All right, Guffy bites onto the rope. You grab onto it and you get tugged out. And as you're like getting pulled out, you can feel a tongue like slapping against your boot, and you turn around and the nose of this thing is like up the channel with you, but it's too big to fit after you. And you can hear rocks starting to get torn away as it starts clawing after you.
Get ready to run, get ready to run, get ready to run, get ready to run!
Alright, so you get pulled up onto the surface and all of you start running.
I make sure to grab Otta because she doesn't have a mask right now.
All right, never mind.
Thank you.
You all run out of there safely. That was about to be like, Otta, make me another check to see if you get lost again.
Just get spun around.
Hey Cody, I like how you fully expected nobody to think of that, and then it's your wife is the one that's like, no, we're not falling for your trap.
It was about to be a thing. Like, you guys get to the end again, like, great, the four of us, including Guffy, made it. Estelle, her Otta wakes up in another cave, like, dang it!
I mean, that would have been the best way to end an episode, so I'm a little disappointed it didn't happen.
Yeah, and Mandy even beat me to it. I was going to try to see if I had another mask to give to Autumn, but I wasn't sure if I made enough.
I thought about like us all like tying ourselves together with ropes, but that was before a giant star-nosed mole was trying to eat me.
Okay, so you've defeated my star-nosed mole puzzle and continue along your way.
I pet Guffy and give him a treat. Who's a good boy? Who's a good boy?
I'm a good boy, Guffy says. You can understand now. I'm kidding. I'm just curious how many times I can tease this, you know. You continue making your way south. I will say the further south you go, the more the tracks are leaning a little bit east. It's definitely not go east, but, you know, you can tell that it is southeast of where you are, and the further south you go, the more that becomes the case. The forest that you find yourself in, like I said before, these trees are white and then very, very high up branches. The result of this is the forest is extremely dark. But as you go, you can start seeing these almost bioluminescent shimmering patches of flowers, and you start being like, okay, avoid those. This is not the right way to go.
Mm-hmm.
And this becomes one of, like, since you've been in the wilds, this is kind of, like, the easiest part of your journey. You've discovered kind of the most dangerous part of the confusing flower forest, and are just winding your way easily through trees, slowly making your way towards this mountain range that you know is on the other side. And I'll say we'll end the episodes with you guys are just starting to climb in elevation again, as the trees begin to thin and you can start seeing some sunlight as you're clearly making your way up another mountain. Thanks for listening to this episode of Wanderlust. Music for this show is credited down below. If you like this campaign, you can find more of our shows at the Wandering Gamer website or on Podbean. You can also find us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, and Twitch. Links in the description. Now bear in mind, in the wilds, some wander to get lost, and some wander to find themselves.